When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Getting proper mental health care can help you feel more like you. That's why Cerebral offers convenient access to online mental health services, including therapy and medication management. Cerebral's diverse clinician team can help with anxiety, insomnia, relationship issues, workplace stress, and more. You can schedule and communicate with your care team through Cerebral's mobile app and attend your sessions from the comfort of your own home. Get started with or without insurance. Plus, you can use your FSA or HSA. Start your first month for 50% off at Cerebral.com/ACAST.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
We host the Holderness Family Podcast every Tuesday.
You may know us from the silly videos that we make online.
Or a book about marriage called Everybody Fights.
Or as winners of season 33 of The Amazing Race.
Still can't believe that happened. Listen, we do a lot of stuff, but our podcast is our most favorite thing.
Yeah, because every week we get to sit down face to face, talk to each other about marriage, family, mental health, or just anything that we want to know more about.
Sometimes we have expert interviews, sometimes it's just us, but our goal is to bring some joy and laughter and to your life every week.
Our other goal is that maybe you will learn something as well.
Right. So search the Holderness Family Podcast and check out our most recent episodes. We have one about staying organized with creators of the Home Edit.
And one about being diagnosed with ADHD as an adult.
We hope you'll join us.
ACAST helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. ACAST.com.
Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
This is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies, or, you know, we drive to occasionally. Today we're driving, all right? We can't always walk. It's cold, guys. It's very cold. So we're going to see Eternals. It's not The Eternals. I think it's just Eternals.
This is like the fourth wave of Marvel movie.
This is in the phase four.
Right, phase four.
Which kicked off with Black Widow. Which you can scroll back and listen to our review of that.
While we both really liked Black Widow, though, how can that kick off a new phase when that's set like two phases
kicked
ago?
Kicked it off all right.
Set two phases ago.
I don't know.
I thought Loki, the TV series, and WandaVision set this off.
Technically, no, I think WandaVision came before Black Widow, didn't it? Yeah, so WandaVision and Loki kind of kicked it off. But it's technically the cinematic universe, so I don't know. Yeah, but fine.
I'm a big fan of those two.
Yeah, so they're in it. And Shang-Chi was the other one. So we've done episodes on all those things. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and Loki and WandaVision are over on our Patreon.
So we're like well ready for this.
Yeah, we've seen it all. Oh, and The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we thought was garbage. I don't know. I'm big into the MCU and I'm a sucker for all this stuff. And I couldn't tell you a morsel of information about these characters, about
neither.
This plot, about I don't know who they are.
Well, Oscar-winning director.
I don't know what's
from this
happening.
Year.
Yes, Chloe Zhao. Awesome get. She was lined up for this before she won the Oscar, so great.
She presumably made this before she
I don't know.
Won
good
the
question.
Oscar.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know.
She only won the Oscar this year. Also, Barry Keoghan, who I'm a huge fan of, the Irish actor in it. And Kumail Nanjiani, who's awesome.
Great cast.
Gemma,
I've
forgotten her name, the British actress.
Gemma Collins, isn't it? No, sorry. No. Gemma Collins is from Towie, right?
It's not Gemma Collins.
It's not her. Although I would like to see. Gemma Chan,
yeah.
Right? Gemma
Chan. Great looking cast, but I'm like super pumped to see Barry Keoghan because we think he's amazing.
Do you want to hear a fun fact?
I'd love to hear a fun fact.
Gemma Chan has already been in the MCU. She was in Captain Marvel.
That is a fun fact. Yeah. Same character?
No, different character. No,
Are
I know.
Are you sure?
Yes, positive.
Right, okay.
It has been publicised. She's playing a different character.
What I do know about this film is, I know nothing about it, but I know that like a load of critics came out and spoiled it after they watched it and everyone is really pissed off. And that's actually lousy. You should never spoil a movie in like the general press.
No.
After you've been to a press screening. Against that, which is why we have a hardcore spoilery policy on The Cinemile.
But Angelina Jolie is in this and I read that she's a ghost the whole time. Oh fuck, sorry, I'm so sorry.
I actually forgot that Angelina Jolie was in it.
Sorry. Spoilers.
Dave, you've made your joke. isn't it funny that she used to be like such a big star and now it's like she's not really the headline even though she's in it?
She'll be the and, right? She'll be the and Angelina Jolie. Like they, but these movies all, you notice they do that. They do that. They get a cool, energetic cast. They cast often up-and-comers like Chris Hemsworth. These movies made Chris Hemsworth and arguably Chris Evans as well. But they always have a highly billed and character, right?
For sure.
Right from the very beginning, Jeff Bridges was in Iron Man and Anthony Hopkins is in Thor and Michael Douglas. So yeah, she's the and. Sometimes, but nowadays you get two ands sometimes and there's
that
two widths. I hate that.
But we need to go, right? We're nearly here. Dave's just carrying on now because I'm driving and he's not.
The other interesting cast members in this are Jon Snow and Robb Stark.
Yeah, what's that about? Why are they in the same movie?
They're both in it. And I'm not sure if they're going to like have a crossover in this, but I don't think I can watch the two of them together on screen thinking of Game of Thrones.
They haven't been together on screen in a long time. Like, no spoilers to Game of Thrones, but like, let's just say they weren't in a lot of scenes together in latter episodes and latter series. So let's go. I'm really excited to see this, like I have to say, primarily because of the Barry Keoghan thing, but also because I am a big fan of WandaVision and Loki, so I feel like it's all going to be in that world. And also Chloe Zhao, I've never actually seen any of her movies, so probably should have watched the actual Oscar winner before we watched
Maybe.
Marvel.
Was that Nomadland, right?
Yeah, I feel like she probably doesn't have the same level of creative control in this one.
Perhaps not. What I'm most excited about is just not knowing, you know, you go into a lot of these Marvel or superhero things, I do, with some pre-existing knowledge. Even Shang-Chi, I had some sense of it. I don't know an iota. Like,
all
they're really.
I know that this intro was too long. When you stop talking,
it's been 4 minutes.
Yeah, let's go.
Cool your boots. We've still got a minute drive. You're all right. You want to stop talking? Okay. Okay. So we'll see you on the other side of Eternal.
Yeah.
Not the Eternal, mm-hmm. And not Eternal, who are a very popular
girl band
trio.
Yeah.
Which fun fact? I owned one of their albums.
That's not a fun fact.
I think it's pretty fun.
Okay, I'm
a big Eternal fan. Okay, but nobody can see the look on Kathy's face. She is enraged.
I'm
and she
an
has
Eternal
no control because she's driving and I am driving this podcast.
Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye.
We're Eternals. We came here 7,000 years ago to protect humans from the deviants.
Why didn't you guys help fight Thanos? Or any war, or all the other terrible things throughout history?
We were instructed not to interfere in any human conflicts unless deviants are involved.
By who? We need to find the others.
I haven't seen some of them for centuries.
Hi.
Hello.
This is what the end of the world looks like. At least we have front row seats.
You know what's never saved the planet? Your sarcasm.
We have loved these people since the day we arrived. When you love something, you protect it.
You can't protect.
Right, we're out. We've just seen Eternals. If it's your first time here in the cinema, we don't spoil the movies we talk about until, of course, we turn onto Spoiler Street, which is a very famous street.
It is.
Very near us. And it's on our route home, conveniently. So, Kathy, let's talk about Eternals. For anyone who doesn't know what this movie is about, I'll synopsize it, spoiler-free, in one sentence. It's about really old, immortal people who've been on this planet for a very long time and now are emerging for a reason.
Okay.
For a plot reason.
It's lovely. I'll give you my top line opinions before we get into spoilers. I know there's just been loads of controversy about critics spoiling this movie, about trailers spoiling this movie, so we're going to go very light before we go to spoiler street because we don't want to add to that.
I want to talk about that because I watched the trailer just now and it does spoil the movie.
Yeah.
It spoils the movie.
It does, so that's weird. But anyway, so this is a very interesting film to me because I was really excited to see the director, as we talked about. And I'm actually, while I think Marvel have been overdoing it, I think they've, from a cinema perspective, been just overdoing the movies, I have really enjoyed Loki and Black Widow.
WandaVision,
yeah. All those things we watched on Disney Plus. Watching this movie, I actually think that this movie has been done a disservice in the same way that Black Widow was done a disservice, in that I really liked the Black Widow movie, right? We've done a whole review on it, so you should go and listen if you haven't, because we were both big fans of that movie.
More than we thought we would.
Yeah. But the movie was done a complete disservice when it was made. It should have been made 10 years ago, right?
Yeah.
This movie, I think, was done a real disservice because, and again, I'm not like a Marvel expert like Dave, but I have seen almost all of these movies and I'm very aware of all of the mechanics of how they work. So many of the movies that I've really enjoyed in this franchise have been origin stories, right? So like Thor, for example, or Black Widow, a solo movie, not necessarily an origin movie.
Uh-huh.
Guardians of the Galaxy, I really like. I feel for this movie because I actually think it's got a brilliant cast, right? I think the cast is really top notch.
Yeah.
I think it's very evident that they've got a different director in this movie because lo and behold, an Asian woman's directing this movie and the star is an Asian woman. Which, again, you wouldn't know from the trailer. But Gemma Chan is the star of the movie. Visually, I really liked how a lot of it looks very different from standard Marvel movies. Which is a similar experience I had with Shang-Chi, which I also really liked the look of. But Shang-Chi's another example of an origin story I really like.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie was done dirty because there's so many characters. They are not characters, to my knowledge, we've ever encountered before. So it's a full introduction, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Which is also true of Guardians of the Galaxy, but there's a lot less of them in Guardians of the Galaxy.
There's only five of them.
Yeah, there's like...
There's ten Eternals.
There's a point in this movie where they're like getting the gang back together, and I actually didn't remember any of the gang, so like as they were bringing more and more people in, I was like, oh, I'd forgotten about that character. because there's too many characters.
Can I just say on that point, not only that, I felt at one stage like, oh good, the gang's together, let's start this movie.
Same.
And then it was like, now we have to go get Festos. And I'm like, wait, what, who? Wait, what? Oh my god.
So like, there was just, to be honest, there's too many characters and not enough time. And like, yeah. The specific
not enough time
characters,
in 2 hours and 45 minutes, by the way.
And I don't mean not enough time in that this movie's not long enough, because the movie's plenty long. I mean, it shouldn't have been in a movie. It should have either been should have been an origin stories, or there should have been a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Druig, I loved, right? Not just because he's Irish and played by Barry Keoghan, who I think is an incredible actor, but I'm like, oh my god, why is there this Irish immortal guy who can, like, control people's minds, right? That's amazing.
But also...
No, he's just there on screen, and that's all we know about
him. There are so many interesting little threads that the movie throws, some of the stuff around his character, that it doesn't have time to do anything interesting with.
And it's like, to
because
no fault of...
Because there's 10 characters.
Exactly, it's like, through no fault of the director, who also looked like she was a co-writer, because... I just don't think anyone could have gotten them all in.
Yeah, and
like,
I think this...
I just think it was, the movie was done dirty, and I think it's like a little bit like Black Widow, it's like a little bit too late, and albeit Black Widow is a much more coherent movie than this because it's about one character. But yeah, so that's kind of my overall take, and like, I'm disappointed. I know it's not had a great critical reaction, and I'm disappointed for the filmmaker and the cast involved, because I think they've all done a little dirty. Like, I think Gemma Chan is incredible as the lead. I think she's absolutely amazing.
Real humanity from her.
Yeah, I think all of the actors are brilliant.
Richard Madden's very good as well.
He's
I think the two
really
of them
good.
Had the most prominent and interesting roles, I thought.
And I just, like, another example of, like, again, when you put, like, diversity behind a camera, you see more diversity on screen. I would probably guess it's the most diverse cast we've ever seen. We have an on-screen gay kiss, which I don't recall, between two men. On the lips, which you never see in these movies.
That's
ever.
Probably a Disney first. Well, like, you never see in big blockbuster.
That's what I mean
Disney
in
movies,
blockbuster
yeah.
Disney movies. So I'm glad to see that normalized. Like, I felt like this was a breath of fresh air in that sense. And I also really enjoyed, like, seeing Angelina Jolie, who I haven't seen in anything in a long time. I really enjoyed her relationship with her kind of partner. So there's loads I enjoyed about it, and I'm saying all this up top because I'm not a hater of this movie. And I, there's lots of elements I appreciate, but ultimately I think the studio did them dirty. It was, it's not the right medium for it. As we said, it should have been a TV show, or there should have been a couple of movies. I feel like they've just made this really quickly to get this property out so they can like add them ultimately back into the Avengers at some point.
Yeah.
Or maybe add them into like the Doctor Strange movie, that presumably some of them will be in it, whatever, because there's all these mystical elements. And then I think by the time we got into the meat of the movie, which was probably the last third of it where it really ramped up, I was slightly bored. And then they made the just mistake that they make in all Marvel movies, where then it just became all like bish bash bosh, big fight scenes, yada yada, the same mistakes they make all the time in the third act. And it's like, can we just get a Marvel movie where we're not doing that, please? Because this could have been that movie. So I was disappointed with that. And yeah, that's pretty much my spoiler-free review. It's not, I'm just being really honest when I say it's not a great movie, and I'm really disappointed because it has so many good elements, but it just, it's ultimately a bit of a drag.
I really agree with you. I think, you know, you put it really well in that, like, there's so many things. I am the prime audience for this kind of movie, and I want to love it. Like, I just love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? It's not hard to please me.
One other thing I wanted to say, it does not have the humor that we've become. That's like a staple of Marvel movies.
It kind of is there, but it doesn't emerge for quite a while.
Yeah, and I don't mind that missing, because in Shang-Chi it wasn't really there either. But again, it's like, what is this movie? It doesn't fit in with your traditional Marvel fodder, but it's also not totally standalone like Shang-Chi. I just don't know what it is.
Let me talk about why I think that felt lacking. And I think it's because this movie, and I admire it for this, is kind of trying to do something a little bit different to what we've seen previously in the Marvel Studios, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't look or feel like a lot of those movies where they have very bright color palettes. Mm-hmm. And we saw this with Shang-Chi very recently. That's a very insanely colorful movie.
Yeah.
And it's got that familiar comedy beat. That feels like that was, and I really enjoyed that, but that felt like this is kind of textbook Marvel studio origin movie, but done with some interesting twists, which I enjoyed. This does feel like, honestly, this felt more like a DC movie, where it's got a different palette. It's very very like the way that she chose to shoot this, the color palette is very drained of color, right? It's very gray and blue and pastel-y, and it's quite serious, right? It's got a very different tone. You know, you talked about Guardians of the Galaxy, that origin movie that kicks off with like a 70s soundtrack and dancing, and it's like full of energy. This is quite a somber movie. This starts off with an opening title crawl, dumping a lot of exposition on us.
Yeah, there was too much exposition
at the
start.
Which I thought, and I'll talk about that in spoiler street, but I don't think this movie, for its 2-hour 45 minute running time, handles exposition well or in an interesting way. And I think that is, again, perhaps, I think you're right to identify it's a problem that is relatively hard to surmount, in that she's got 10 characters to introduce. She's got,
and we've never heard of any of
all of these people, all of this massive cosmic stuff happening on an insane level, and 7,000 years of human history.
It's
so I'm like,
and like the original Avengers, if nothing else, like most people knew who the Hulk was and Iron Man, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Here we're starting from absolute zero.
It's a very hard task, and it doesn't really, I think she kind of gets there, but it's not a success. They did not bat this one out of the park. The movie kicks into gear in the second half when you have spent an hour and a half with these characters, and I did start to warm to a lot of them.
Same. And I think all the actors were brilliant together.
Yes, they are, and it's like everyone's kind of doing good work here, but it is kind of just cut off at the knees by the massive weight which the movie has to bear.
Yeah, like the scene where they're all having dinner together was one of my favourite scenes of the movie, because I love, it's like in the Avengers, I love when we see them all together.
Yeah.
And I loved that, but it was only, she couldn't really do it properly before then because we just didn't know them well enough to enjoy the sequence.
Exactly. And we meet them all at the same, let's go into spoilers, because I've got, I have ideas, I have some notes,
no,
which I would have handed in like a producer would,
to
why this movie could have been better. But spoilers now for Eternals. So you have been warned, here come the spoilers right now. Hopefully your earphones are out. Now, can we just talk about, I don't know what
we talk about Sprite,
I don't know what the critics spoiled.
Apparently the critics spoiled, you know the way there's key moments in time. This is one of the things I heard that critics spoiled, which I didn't care about, but I know lots of people would. Is that like, you know the way it turns out like they contributed to the evolution of humans, so then that like
the atomic bomb was because of what Festos had given them.
Apparently, like, there's some elements like that were being spoiled by critics. And then when we just watched the trailer before we started talking, because we wanted to see what it was like, the trailer spoils, like, the third act twist.
Yes. So the trailer, and we're in spoilers now. So, like, if I had seen this trailer in which Richard Madden and Salma Hayek are having a conversation about The Emergence, which is the plot of this movie, then I'm watching the movie. So that in itself is not a spoiler, right? You could watch that trailer and be like, okay,
yeah,
an emergency.
We know she's dead.
We know she's dead. We've never seen them on screen together. And he is going about the movie being like, hey, what's going on? An emergence, you say?
Yeah.
I've done anything about this. So, I'd be really upset if I'd seen
that. They kind of had a big chunk of the scene
as
well.
I'd easily piece those two things together.
It wasn't like a flash of the scene. It was like the first half of the trailer is basically all the elements of this movie where they reference the Avengers.
I think
they're almost not referencing this movie.
Bad form for the marketing department.
Yeah, I think so. They also, what annoyed me about the trailer is like, it made it very Avengers heavy, which the movie isn't, though I appreciate they're trying to sell it in, right? That's fine.
Yeah.
But then, like, the movie made it look like Richard Madden's the star, and he's actually not. Gemma Chan's the star.
But
I'm like, what white male audience are you trying to pander with this trailer? Just made me feel a bit icky, if I'm being honest. I just thought it was really wrong.
You're right, she doesn't really feature in the marketing
as much.
She's
the star.
Yeah,
she's
the star.
She's the absolute driver.
She's the heart of the movie.
She's the heart of the movie. She's probably got the most screen time, and she's the protagonist. Like, most of it's from her perspective.
See, there's some really interesting stuff in this movie. Like, I liked that tension that does exist between her and Richard Madden, this idea of who should be in charge of this group. And then you've got some of them, such as Sprite and Kumail Nanjiani's character, who are like, he's the leader, right? He's the leader. He's the strongest. He can fly.
I love that he's Superman, by the way.
He just is Superman. But what I enjoyed about that is that we were watching that being like, yeah, he's Superman. Everyone's thinking it. And then the movie kind of just acknowledged it
by having
that kid reference it, which
and
opens
the
a whole
the
can
Flash.
Of worms. Like, wait a second. What? The Superman exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a fictional character?
And also
Star Wars exists?
Whose name I can't remember, the woman who can't speak, because she was probably the least. She was in at least. She's basically the Flash.
Yeah, I know. And look, they're dealing with powers and characters and properties that were created in the 70s, and famously Marvel and DC and every superhero comic book are just like been ripping each other off back and forth over 100 years.
Like, that's not really a rip-off.
And there's only so many powers they can come up with.
But anyway, I just enjoyed that they were basically the Flash and Superman. But yeah, everyone's like, he should be the leader, and it's like, no, she didn't choose him. But I think the point is, though, I think partially where they were confused, and it wasn't just the straight white male thing that he should be the leader. I think it's because he was always Salma Hayek's number two.
Yes.
But then she, because she realized about him.
Because she realized that he murdered her.
Well, yeah, but like,
yeah, no,
wait. The thing is, she moved the goalposts. Richard Madden's always been there to help them reach this emergence point. She's the one who changed her mind and suddenly thought that Richard Madden should follow.
What?
But he's devout and he's like, no, I have a job and I'm going to get my job done. Salma Hayek is the one who broke rank. And then she then knew that Gemma Chan like loves the people of Earth and would help her. So that's kind of explains why they were confused that Gemma Chan was the leader.
I actually agree with what you say. And that for me is really interesting. And I think it's an interesting follow on from where we saw a quite shaded villain in Shang-Chi. And I think Marvel is getting much better at this and has kind of figured out with Thanos, if you give a villain a perspective that is relatively relatable, or you can see how they logically came to that conclusion, they're more interesting.
It's more complex. We know that he loved Gemma Chan. They've been married for 6,000 years.
So I actually was really invested in him as the kind of the big antagonist at the end, way more so than some whatever they were called, the alien monster.
Oh God,
things,
whoever. And also, I really like that. Like, we found out like that's
deviant.
Bright is in love with him, and like they've never been able to be together because she's like, he was with Gemma Chan. Also,
another
she's in a child's body.
Idea.
So then I actually believed it when she went over to his side. I just thought that was kind of unfair that everyone still was like calling her a child and like mocking her.
What's unfair or weird? And can we just talk about this? Let's take a step back as to their boss, right? Arisham, the
Whoever he is, he's basically Thanos.
What are they called? The Celestials. Right, so these.
Thanos, he's just a big bad from a Marvel movie.
I actually don't think he is a bad. Oh, sorry, it's very noisy here. What I found really interesting about this whole celestial thing is, A, it answers all the questions of the meaning of life and why we're here and everything. So I personally found that quite interesting.
I
like
really
that they
interesting,
provided
yeah.
a very clear answer. And it provides this sort of moral and ethical question, which is the debate at the end of this movie, and the opposite viewpoints of Richard Madden and Team Gemma Chan.
Yeah.
Where they're like, these people deserve a chance to be saved. And he's like, no, billions others won't be born because it's the circle of life. It's the like what the celestial exposition drops on Gemma Chan in that
big
old expedition dump. Well, it's like, kind of, and it's also, but it's also the circle of life. Like, things in our world live and die, and then you feed nutrients to the soil, and then things are reborn. There's the seasonal cycle. It's like this, what we learn about the celestials and the seasonal cycle, it's like all things come to an end. When you actually accept it, it kind of just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, but they
sense.
Were like, but they were like, they said, for example, like earlier on in the episode, they're like, we're witnessing genocide. Like, sorry, in the movie, it was interesting to see the moral debates where,
but there is
like,
no,
this is genocide, but and this is the stuff I wanted to be explored more. This
yeah,
I wanted
there's no,
to be a
there's
TV
no
show.
Time. There's no time to explore this.
I actually so, love the plot of this movie.
It's really interesting yeah. because the Celestials. You described him as the big bad. He's big for sure. I don't think he's bad. I think he's completely indifferent. I think if anything...
He's mean. He made Sprite into a little girl's
well,
body
okay,
for her
that,
whole life.
Sorry, that's why we're on this tangent. Because I wanted to talk
that's
about
mean.
The choices that Asimov, or whatever he's called, makes. So I'm like, fine, okay, so Circle of Life, you're gonna... And he's like, yeah, okay, so I made you guys. You're the Eternals. You're robots. Sorry, sorry, Gemma Chan. You have to play a robot again, as is your lot in life.
But also, I want an Irish one.
This, okay, so this is it. What is going on with the design of these Eternals, which he decided to make? He's like, okay, fine, I want equal representation of...
Probably because he wants them to be inserted anywhere in the world and like to be able to fit in.
Yeah, totally cool. Yeah. Okay, here's a problem. It's 7,000 BC when they
Why
arrive
do Irish
in Mesopotamia, where there are no Irish accents. There are no anything. There's just like one group of humans living by the water, and yet
Turek's like, how is?
It's like, why does he have these accents?
I love that he kept his accent. The actor.
No, no. Here's the thing. I also love that. I
You've
love.
Never seen an Irish superhero.
I
before.
Love that the movie allowed all of the act, and this is great. A great trend in movies and Hollywood. Like, don't make every. It was a really frustrating thing 20 years ago when every British and Irish actor and everybody had to put on the fake American accent to pander what studios thought. No, they won't like foreign accents. But I'm like, so cool, great. We feel in a very international world now. It starts in London, blah, blah, blah. So that's cool.
I like that.
But it doesn't make any sense when they're playing creatures that were created thousands of years before any of the accents. And it's what really frustrated me.
They
can
all speak ancient Greek, though.
What really frustrated me about this, it's such an easy answer to all of this. In that, also, why are they speaking English? Why are they speaking English in Babylon?
Say that they about any movie that's ever been made for an English-speaking audience, and come back to me.
No, but they can speak English
now
to each other. But why are they? Have they invented the English language 7,000 years ago when they're speaking to each other? And
Dave, they're Eternals.
But
they
also
can speak whatever they want to speak.
The movie could have fixed this so easily by, in the flashbacks, have them speaking. Either right, I know it's that's
a
complication
movie.
to have actors
movie.
Learn ancient Babylonian.
No, but Dave, it's a Marvel movie, and they're never going to have their protagonist for any extended period of time not speaking English.
Here's what
so
I would have liked.
Have
Here's what
that.
I at least would have liked: have your in the past, have your characters have homogenous accents, right? And then in the present, when they have lived with humans for 7,000 years and they all went their separate ways to corners of the world, that is a perfect reason for them to have adopted accents.
Well, Dave, maybe if they'd made a TV series, they would have had time to flesh out the accents of each character. I did notice that Angelina Jolie had a deliberately, I think, because she's a very good actress, she had a deliberately all over the place accent, and I think that's because she has lived all over the place and now appears to live in like Ayers Rock for herself.
What I was surprised about with her was that, we talked about this at the top, she seemed like to me to be the and character who's going to show up for a few scenes and be a big name and isn't going to do much work. She wasn't. Salma Hayek was that character,
yeah.
And she was actually quite a big part of it, and is still around. So
she
I
was
feel
quite
like
a big part, but she wasn't the main one. It's like an Avengers movie. She's like Hawkeye.
Yeah, exactly. She was the Hawkeye.
Yeah, it's interesting. But we need to kind of crack on here and like not get so tied up in the details. I do want to say that at the very end,
I'm only interested.
Did you
in
notice
the details.
That Kumail Nanjiani, who we thought was brilliant, he was so funny and brought the comic relief. I loved all the plots of him going like, back in the day playing different movie stars, and again I could have watched a whole TV series on that.
There's some fun ideas
some
in here,
some really fun ideas. But at the end, like, he still didn't agree with Gemma Chan and then, but he was just like, I'm not getting involved.
Yeah, except that's weird. Why just... If you're going to all this time and effort to introduce these 10 characters and then just at the end have one of them be like, "Yeah, I'm just going to sit this out."
No, but I think that was actually really interesting because he's like, "I'm not going to get involved, I'm not going to be violent, and I'm just going to sit it out." And I actually really like that.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was like, oh, we don't normally see that in a Marvel movie where they're all fighting for no reason. Like, I enjoyed the way we...
It was a dull fight.
It was really dull.
And I'm like, what I'm interested in is the dynamics and the sort of
the
moral question and the characters. Like, it's like... It's like there was just punching each other
like
at the end, and that wasn't interesting.
Like, that was really interesting, right? And I like that they kind of paid off at the beginning when we saw Sprite can like multiply visuals and she kind of multiplied all the mountains. What really bugged me is that they all came together to create like the mind meld,
the uni mind.
Like, the uni mind. And they had this fantastic idea, and it takes them ages, and they finally get it organized. And then, like, no one thinks to build any form of shield around themselves.
Yeah.
So they're all like mind melding.
Let's just stand here out in the open.
In the middle of a desert. And then, of course, Richard Madden just arrives and ruins it. So I'm like, after all that effort to like program this ability, you've just lost that. So that insanely bugged me, and then kind of didn't matter in the end anyway. So I really just like, from a human perspective, I really enjoy the character again, whose name I've forgotten, who was married with a husband and he had his kid and he had lost
Festos.
All faith in humanity. And he
okay,
was
that
like,
was the only bit where I really
felt
emotional
up.
And I welled up. But
that's
then,
why you need kids
but then
in
I
movies.
Realized. But then I realized, hang on, you're just manipulating me. They just put on a really sad song and then had him kissing his kid goodbye, and I was just goodnight, and I was just relating to that as a parent.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't actually know Festos,
but
nor did I remember he was
faith.
Even in this movie.
But he lost all faith in humanity. He's like, I gave him this wonderful technology, and look what they've done with it. And he like found his way back to feeling human again.
Again, really interesting ideas, which they give a sort of a quick scene to of him on his knees with Salma Hayek at Hiroshima, and they kind of like that's kind of enough, but also not really enough. If only you'd had a whole episode of a TV series on a streaming platform which you own in which to do this.
And then one of the other things
like
that I found...
You talked about Black Widow earlier. They had this backwards. Black Widow should have been in the cinemas and this should have been on Disney+.
Yeah, but Dave, Black Widow was supposed to be in the cinemas. A little thing called COVID-19
know,
got in
I
the
know,
way.
I know,
And then I also found it hilarious when we watched the trailer a minute ago that Kit Harington, a.k.a. Jon Snow, was like the star of the trailer. Every scene Kit Harington's in is in that trailer. He's not in this movie. They're teasing him up to be someone at the end, and that's fine. But like, I just, it's so funny how like, if you just watch this trailer, you'd be like, oh, it's a Richard Madden and Kit Harington movie.
What's funny is that, yeah, and everyone's talking about this, like you've got Richard Madden and Kit Harington, who we can only see on screen as two characters.
See,
who
I
they inhabited
though.
For a long
time.
No,
I
but no,
them,
by
Kit
the end,
Harington was different actually than he is in Game of
by
Thrones.
By the end, I was fine with it. But, but at the beginning, when they're talking to Cersei,
yeah, her name's
I was
Cersei.
Like,
that's
hang on.
That's not their fault. That's the name from the comic
book.
I
know.
And I guess they're teeing him up. We actually didn't stay for the second end of credit sequence because it was just all going on for so long. Dave actually Googled it. You've never done that before, have you?
But we had to go.
I know, but also it was an interesting for me, like before you just would have never left. And
you're, do you know what? You're so right.
Yeah.
I didn't really care.
You
and
just
actually,
it.
That
they
shows.
They don't mean anything
you,
anymore.
I didn't come out of this movie really caring about any of these. I thought.
Like the first end sequence was like Harry Styles was there. I was like,
oh right, god,
what's
okay,
that about?
Sorry.
I like Harry Styles, by the way. I just don't get.
I feel like
I didn't get the sequence.
I feel like we are on the verge of Marvel Studios jumping the shark.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a tipping point.
Why is there a CGI leprechaun?
That's the moment where I was like, uh oh. Okay, so it's like, what's happening? What are you setting up? Okay, Kit Harington's important and he's got a ring. Okay, fine. And now it's like. Announcing His Majesty Harry Styles.
It's like an SNL sketch.
And I'm just like, oh,
it
I don't
like
know.
It felt like SNL taking the piss out of Marvel.
Yeah, because that was some ropey CGI. I
and
like
Harry
Patton
Styles
Oswald.
Is a good actor. Like, he's in Dunkirk with Barry Keoghan. But he is a good actor. Scene made me just like, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to the toilet. Like,
yeah,
I'm not staying for the
I
next one.
I didn't want anything to do with that.
Yeah,
I'm honestly, I feel like they kind of dropped the ball here. I think this is a fine movie. I think it is fine. I think it's coherent. I think there's some really interesting ideas.
I like to say the word coherent in a movie review is like, we want to be kind to
my problem is, do you know what? It was just quite flat. Do you know
what? Yeah.
It for the first half was very dull. It was
my
very dull.
My most fun sequence was when Richard Madden smashed the table, which I properly laughed at. But then when you watch the trailer,
it's in the trailer, and we've seen it a thousand times.
If we'd seen the trailer, even that would have been spoiled for me.
But here's where I think someone like Chloe Zhao may not have been like it's an interesting choice for this kind of weighty subject matter, and makes a very nice looking movie. But
and
the,
also,
the
I
scene...
think she truly crafted more interesting characters than we have in
yes,
the movie.
Yes, and probably did. But yeah. I don't think this movie handles fun very well. I think Kumail Nanjiani has to do a lot of heavy lifting in the comedy department. Because there's a scene where he's doing his Bollywood scene, where we're first introduced to him.
Yeah.
And that dancing is choreographed, and or it's choreographed is
yeah.
fine. No, no, but it's actually really flat. And it's
yeah, the
it's,
movie's the, flat. His scene is
the
his dance
editing,
is good.
His dance is fine, and, yeah. and it's all very interesting. But I was like, oh, this is fun. Why isn't this fun and energetic
yeah.
movie? Come on, kick into gear. Do yeah. you know why? It's because the editing needs to do some work. And it
yeah.
was just like there were long shots where it was just watching him. Like you need like you need to cut fast. You need to have rhythm. There was like I thought the edit really let that scene down.
You're
and
right.
I think that is an interesting.
I think just as a director, it must be. Like it must be so shit to work with a big studio like this, like on a property of this size with this medium, and like I don't know, I imagine it must just be a bummer.
It's an incredibly hard job.
Yeah.
And look, and we said at the top this is our first movie that we've seen by her, and I think she and look, as I said, it's really coherent and looked good.
And like
so
that
I
is actually saying a lot for
that
one
is
of these
saying
movies.
A lot for somebody.
And, but I do.
And also, I guess she won
out.
An award, an Oscar, so she must have be a good director.
I mean, of course, I'm sure. I actually really want to see Nomadland. We just missed it in the cinema. But basically, I think what she brought out of the actors and the cast she brought together and all of that was actually way more interesting than like I am bored to tears of some of the other Avengers and Marvel characters. Like this is so interesting. The casting's interesting. The characters are interesting. It was just let down by the overall structure of what they were given to play with. And like yeah, I'm not a total downer on this movie. I think some of the criticism is harsh, but I also do think it dragged. But we've loads to talk
yeah.
about it. But anyway, we better wrap up and let us know what you thought about it. We could talk about it all day, as we can always
as
do.
As we have
movies.
Done.
Yeah, and I want there's loads actually more I want to talk about. We've gone on too long. Let us know what you thought of it. Follow us at Cinemile on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And head over to Patreon, patreon.com/thecinemile, where at the moment we're doing weekly Succession reviews. We've reviewed all of the Marvel TV shows over there.
And we just watched The Parent Trap.
We just watched The Parent Trap, actually, on Disney Plus for our monthly retro movie review. So head over there and say hi. And, of course, if you have a moment, please head to Apple Podcasts and follow us is the new thing you need to do. And follow us and leave us a 5-star review. We'd greatly appreciate it.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Ended when you said goodbye.
Thank you for this.
Oh, you're welcome.
So now that Captain Rogers and Iron Man are both gone, who do you think's going to lead the Avengers?
I could lead them.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
What would you say if I told you there's a book that can teach you how to win The Bachelor?
What would you say if I told you producers caught multiple finalists reading that book in this season that's currently airing?
What would you say if I told you the producers don't want anyone to know that their show has been compromised?
How do we know all this? We wrote that book.
I'm Lizzie Pace.
And I'm Chad Colchin.
We're the authors of How to Win the Bachelor and the hosts of the Game of Roses podcast, a bi-weekly podcast where we break down all the biggest plays, errors, and MVPs in the game of reality television.
Listen to Game of Roses wherever you get your podcasts and go to howtowinthebachelor.com to get our book.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the aging process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.